Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready? Let's go!
Now, from the IMLD home studios, in its ninth season, you are listening to In Much Less Detail, the podcast, where we cut through the noise and give you your NFL breakdown in much less detail. Your football party is live with your hosts, Jay and Dre.
Yep, back in the cut once again here with your NFC preview tonight. Second night in a row. Thank you all for joining us. You are indeed listening live to In Much Less Detail, the podcast. We are here with you on a Wednesday night, September the 8th, 2021. Santa's coming down the chimney. It's football eve. It's the night before the regular season gets going with the Cowboys and the Buccaneers. And at the end of our NFC preview, we will pick that game for you. That's going to happen tomorrow night. Real football finally coming back. It's been a long offseason, Jay, but we're right on the precipice.
I know. Real football tomorrow night. I'll be able to watch the vast majority of the game. So I'll be able to listen to, I get off work right before kickoff. So probably get home right about the end of the first quarter and then hopefully get home and sit down and watch a good game. That's all you want to see, especially if you don't have any major rooting interest. You don't want bad football for that first game, which is really interesting because with the 3-week preseason, we get to see how that translates. We got Dak Prescott. He's coming back after missing all of last year after that gruesome ankle injury. And you got the world champions on their home turf kicking it off. So it should be fun. I'm excited. Obviously, last night we did the AFC, so I don't know if we want to real quickly recap that.
Sure.
In case anybody's listening now who didn't get a chance to listen last night. So this is all NFC tonight.
It's on podcast mode. If you want to listen to the AFC preview, it's on inmuchlessdetail.blogspot.com. Actually, it's not on the blog. I gave the wrong link there.
It's okay.
It's the off season. We're all getting the rust shaken off. It's on our website where you're listening live right now, which is blogtalkradio.com/inmuchlessdetail. Our full archive is there. Every show that we've ever done is there on the archives. You can search out our podcasts on any number of different podcast apps, including, of course, iTunes. Every show we've done is listed right there. Do we ever delete that one that was just a complete train wreck and we had to do it the next night because we had connection issues? I think that's the only show we ever had to just completely abort and just get out and delete.
Yeah. Was that the draft aftermath show?
Yes.
And then the next night we had the draft aftermath show.
Right. That's how bad the connection was. It was just a train wreck and we had to just get out of it completely. So I think we deleted that, but we might not have. I might still be up there. But in any event, every show we do,
kind of hoping it's still there.
It might be, actually, now that I think about it.
I mean, there was a show that we had where the audio was so bad I couldn't hear what you were saying, but I continued the show like I could hear what you were saying. Like you said, it was one of the most incredible things you'd ever heard.
Right, because when I listened back to it, every other word was getting – it was so choppy that I was sounding like up, beep, up, boop, beep, boop, boop, and you're just answering everything I said with full sentences, which is, of course, an indication that we've been best friends for way, way, way too
long. That's right. That's right. On that wavelength, even though that doesn't mean we agree on everything.
No.
Unless it's an MLB show.
Then we absolutely agree. Well, we had a little kumbaya last night, but we didn't. We also had some where we had some nice discussion, good with some of these division breakdowns, and we did not see eye to eye on some of them. We had the AFC North scrambled up a little bit. And
yeah,
I think that's very good when we have some discourse and have some disagreement instead of just being completely the same down the list with every single pick.
Yeah, and that division, you know, you got, we talked about it. There's basically three teams in that division that you could kind of just, you know, put in a bag and shake that bag up and, you know, we're like dice, right? Put them in the dice and roll it. And every time you roll it, it might come up with a different combo. But I had the Chiefs, the Bills, the Browns, and the Titans as my division winners. I believe you and I were kumbaya on all of them except for the North, where you had, I believe, the Ravens.
That is correct. I had the Chiefs, the Bills, and the Titans along with you as division winners, and I have the Ravens out of the North, and you have the Browns. And for my wild card, we have one in common. We both have the Clipper Chargers taking that next step and making the playoffs, and I have joining them the Patriots and the Steelers.
Yes, and I have the Chargers, Ravens, and Colts sneaking in there to be that last wild card. Tonight, I have a feeling, will be a little different.
I think we're going to have a lot of similarities tonight.
I think we'll have some similarities, but there's a couple of divisions I think that are a little bit more packed tightly than a couple others. So it's, again, we talked about last night with the haves and the have-nots in the AFC. I think there's a lot more have-nots in the NFC.
Yes.
You have you have a much smaller group of teams that are like your definite, well, before the season starts anyways, that are your definite sort of upper echelon teams. I think there's fewer of them in the NFC, which is fun because that makes it more wide open.
Right. There's definitely seems to be a lot more teams that are fighting for last place than there are fighting for first in these NFC divisions. So very top heavy, it would seem.
And in a little change, I propose last night you let me go first. So tonight I will let you go first.
All right.
With your division breakdowns. So that, and you know, cause that way you can talk for 27, 28 minutes for each division and I'll throw all mine in 90 seconds.
Listen, you did this. Okay. If I go long and leave you no time, you did this. You made that decision.
It's only fair.
Well, You asked for it.
Just make sure you leave us 90 seconds to make that pick at the end of the show.
Always. No matter what, we will leave the last 90 seconds to get that last pick in. I was trying to go on my BetMGM app and find the futures and the specials that I talked about with you on Twitter a little bit this morning.
Which I am not eligible to make those slam dunk bets because I'm in Wisconsin. And Wisconsin is not one of the states.
Wow.
Because you sent me that, I was completely ready to put money on the Jets and the Texans and the Bengals. I wanted to parlay them.
Right. You were all in with the futures as to who will or won't make the playoffs. Yeah, we talked about this for years, like, God, there's so many teams that are such a slam dunk that aren't going to make the playoffs. Can you just short them? Can we just bet these teams not to make the playoffs? Well, I don't, you know, I'm giving BetMGM all the publicity because that happens to be the sports book that I'm signed up with at the moment. And it happens to be the one that I know for a fact because I've looked it up. They have those futures. They have those. Maybe they all have them. Maybe all the sports books have this. And I'm just behind the curve. But I tell you, when I first got into internet gambling, you know, back in the 2000s, I don't remember seeing this anywhere. I would have loved to short all these terrible teams to not make the playoffs and count it that easy money at the end of the year. But those odds and those specials are up on BetMGM. Every team has a odds of whether they will make the playoffs or won't make the playoffs. And it seems easy money for a lot of these now. I was all in with you as well, just, you know, bundling a lot of these terrible teams and setting up a nice juicy parlay. That special bet is unfortunately not eligible for parlaying on BetMGM. And that really disappointed me because I was all in on taking about six or seven or eight teams that I know have no chance.
Yeah, I was getting ready to send you a $50 check and saying, bundle me.
Yeah. I was all set. And then some of these lines are so prohibitive, like to bet minus 1,100 on pretty much anything, I don't care how sure you think it is kind of a sucker move. There's just the amount of money you have to bet in order to make it back. Like, you'd be draining your savings accounts and your checking accounts and everything else just trying to make $100.
Yeah.
It's not worth it. As much as I know that who was the minus 1,100? I think it was the Texans. As much as I know that organization is a tire fire and there's no chance that they're making the playoffs, I'm still not laying minus 1,100 for that. That's just insane. Cause I just, first of all, I don't have the money to do that and just pull it out like that. Like, you'd have to take out a loan almost to do something like that. But the one that really got me thinking about making a deposit into my account is that Jaguars is minus 450 to not make the playoffs. That's more manageable. That makes a little more financial sense to me. Like, I can see, gathering up, $300, $400 to make, the 70, 80, 100
yeah.
For the Jacksonville Jaguars. Because the Jaguars, they got a coach that doesn't know what he's doing. They got a roster that is, right now Trevor Lawrence and guys. They're a far cry from that excellent defense a few years ago that beat the Pittsburgh Steelers and were a half away from beating Tom Brady and going to the Super Bowl. Most of those guys already are not there anymore. Like, Miles Jack is still there, and that's just about it. So they're clearly rebuilding. They're clearly not going to have much success this year. If they did make a surprise run, it would be Trevor Lawrence. It would have to be like the greatest, debuting rookie quarterback of all time. And even the best of the best don't come right out of the gate being successful. We remember Peyton Manning, who turned out to be a Hall of Fame quarterback, and how bad he struggled his first years in Indianapolis.
We only have to go back to last year to watch Justin Herbert and what he did. It wasn't good enough at all to get to the playoffs.
It was an excellent rookie year.
It
still fell short, yeah. And will Trevor Lawrence be that good? He might, but he might very well might not. That's a very high bar to set. And so, yeah, I think the Jaguars are very good, very sure bet to not make the playoffs. So that one is very tempting. But some of those ones, the Lions, and I think are minus 900. And I talked about the Texans. The Jets are a very, very prohibitive favorite to not make the playoffs. It's there. If you've got the money to throw in there, trying to make some coin at the end of the year, give yourself a little New Year's bonus at the end of the regular season. It's out there. We've talked about it. We prayed for it. We asked for it. And the ability is there for those who are in the States that can gamble online at the moment. I'm shy. It's everywhere. I thought pretty much every state had gone ahead because it's
no.
free money. You open up these internet casinos and sports books and just ask the people to put their money in their accounts, and you just sit there and watch the money roll in. Like, I think every state is coming around to what Vegas has done all these years. You just sit there and watch the money come in. It's easy. So it's coming. It might not be in Wisconsin yet, but trust me, it's coming. It's going to be everywhere at some point.
I'm glad. Because you sent me that, and I was like, "Well, I got to take a look at this." You don't talk. We talk about there's very few surefire things, but there are some things that we absolutely know. We don't know who's going to the playoffs, but we for sure know who's not.
Right. You know who's going to the playoffs. I'm sure it's just as prohibitive to bet the Chiefs to make the playoffs or some of these other the Buccaneers. I was trying to get to the website. It's not
right.
I don't know how to find, instantly some of these props like that because I haven't navigated the site that fast, so I don't know how to bring it up, instantly. I've been sitting here for 5 minutes on the app trying to figure out where that is, and I just can't I can't find it. I favorited it on my account, but I can't find where my favorites are. So that's why I can't bring it up. So
you know,
at some point during the show I might find it.
And, of course, we can come back to this show as we head into the wild card weekend and go back. And some of these things that we thought were surefire, they won't be.
That's, you know, that's the beauty of sports. You
that's
think
why,
you know,
that's right. There's going to be the bad bounce or the devastating injury or, you know, wrecked chemistry. You never know what's going to happen, right? You know, look at Dallas last year, what they turned into.
Well, don't look at it. Don't look at that injury because it was disgusting. No. I was watching it. It was
bad.
DVRing the game, so I watched it and I saw the injury. And the camera crew clearly didn't know how bad it was because they were focused in on Dak after he went down for a good 5 seconds or so, looking at his ankle bent the wrong way and his foot pointing, you know, outward instead of straight up and down. And it's like, oh, Lordy. So, it was clearly, you know, it's something that you won't see on, like, you know, highlight that night. I'm sure they didn't actually show his foot being bent the wrong way on the, you know, SportsCenter and NFL highlight packages and stuff like that. But I happened to be watching it, and I'm you know, without giving away a pick, there's guys that are ready to come back and instantly try to start week one, and even without considering the whole, they haven't played any football at all in 2 or 3 weeks, depending on how much rest that they got, in the preseason. Everyone's coming off a bye, so no one's played any football in 2 weeks, no matter what. And then throw in some of these guys like Dak Prescott, like Carson Wentz in Indianapolis, are trying to come right back on the field. Even Pat Mahomes in Kansas City, who looked great in the preseason, but preseason is not regular season. So that's just something to keep an eye on. Some of these guys are trying to come back out there on the field and start in week one and just pick right up where they left off. And they might not. It's not that easy, you know, to get full speed and full steam ahead right off the bat like that. Got to watch out for it. I'm not saying that they're going to go down necessarily or they're going to be slow, but you got to think about that.
All right. Try not to foreshadow a pick, though.
Yeah, I may have done that, but just saying.
It's okay. It's all right. So, all right. You ready to go?
Yeah, I'm going to give up the attempt to try to find these prop bets on this website, on this app, because it's just I can't navigate it yet. It's all brand new to me. Yeah, let's get started with our NFC breakdown and our preview. We'll start out west. We started with the AFC West last night. We'll start with the NFC West tonight. And I will go top to bottom in this division, which seems to be, I don't think this is controversial at all, the most parity of any division, because all four of these teams I think have a legitimate argument that they could really win the division. Some teams say, well, really every team says that at the beginning of the season. We really believe that we have a legitimate shot to win the division.
They might
even
say
though,
it.
Yeah,
they might say it. I don't know who all believes it.
I don't know either, but they all definitely think they do, at least before the game starts.
Just remember, the Jaguars last year started 1-0.
Yeah. But in the NFC West, I really do think every team, the Rams, the 49ers, the Seahawks, even the Cardinals, have a legitimate argument that they got the talent, and if everything just breaks right for them, that they could find themselves on top when the season is over. So I just gave the order right there, if you were paying attention and listening. Rams, 49ers, Seahawks, and Cardinals. I have the Rams as my division winners. And I have the 49ers returning to glory somewhat and making the playoffs once again after a season where injuries just wrecked them and put them behind the eight ball, and they were not able to get over all of that. So I'll start with the Rams, number one on top. All eyes on, of course, Matthew Stafford coming in as the new quarterback, and Sean McVay joining forces with Stafford. There's a lot of media around. This goes back to every team thinks they have a shot. Every team's media and every team's beat writers also think that they seem to have a shot. Like, I really have never understood that. Like, if you're a beat writer, you really don't you lose more credibility by saying this team is looking great and has a real shot at making some waves this year. To me, you lose credibility doing that over whatever you might gain, whatever access you might gain with the team by, you know, buttering their role like that. But I've seen a lot of writers talking about how great the Rams look and how great the Stafford-McVay combination is going to be because they're on the same wavelength, and basically an indictment of Jared Goff and talking about McVay and Stafford are more peers with each other than McVay and Goff were. And look, Goff had his moments, obviously, you know, leading them to a Super Bowl appearance. Let's not talk about the actual games. It was just god awful. But clearly he lost confidence from Sean McVay as time went on. And eventually McVay got to a point where he was ready to throw in random off the street bums to start games in the playoffs for them instead of Jared Goff. He really wanted to use Jared Goff at the end of that run last year. And now Goff is gone and Stafford is in. As always, don't forget about that great defense. Don't forget about Aaron Donald. Don't forget about that high quality that they have. Cornerback, Jalen Ramsey and Darius Williams, that's just the kind of shutdown cornerback tandem that you need in this division. When you talk about what the 49ers bring every week, what the Seahawks are going to bring, what Kyler Murray and the Cardinals are going to bring, you basically – win a division like that with your defense, because the team that can stop all those other high-flying offenses the best is the team that's going to come out on top of those crazy division games in the end. And I think the Rams are best equipped to do that because they have the best all-around defense. Radio Raheem taking over on that defense. Raheem Morris taking over for Brandon Staley, who gets a head coaching gig. I can see them winning the entire conference. I can see the NFC, if everything shakes out, you know, that's, of course, a big question mark for every team. Everything's just got to break just right. But I think the Rams are set up for it. And they, if they did make the Super Bowl, it would be there in L.A. So that would be the second year in a row that a team would actually come out of the NFC and go home to host the Super Bowl game after Tampa Bay last year. So I think the Rams have a shot at that. The 49ers bouncing back and making a playoff run, similar to the Bears, everyone is waiting for when the coach is going to put in the rookie quarterback over the veteran. With the 49ers, of course, we're talking about Kyle Shanahan deciding to stick with our guy, the former Patriot, Janine Garoppolo, at quarterback instead of the rookie Trey Lance. But Kyle Shanahan has imagination, so it looks like Trey is going to get some run in between snaps with Jimmy G. It's going to be sort of similar to New Orleans, where they run Taysom Hill out there for some trick plays every now and then. And I don't hate that because if you do it right, you add an element that defenses can't really be all that greatly prepared for, because, you know, everyone's a creature of habit. Defenses get ready for these quarterbacks and these game plans, and you don't really plan for, oh, by the way, they got another guy that they might bring in that might run some wildcat, or they might split him wide, or there might be some craziness, that because you don't know when that's going to happen, you don't know if that's going to happen, and you don't know when he comes in exactly what he's going to do. So it's kind of impossible to prepare for that. So I like it. You just got to, you know, be smart with it. Got to be judicious. You got to make sure that you pick just the right spot to do that. And I think Kyle Shanahan, as much as we made fun of him when he broke into the NFL, you know, clearly case of nepotism there, got in because of his daddy. He's proven his bona fides over the years, and he's got a good imagination. He's got some creativity, and I think he's going to figure out just the right way to use Trey Lance and get that 49ers offense back the way they were supposed to be. And, of course, Jimmy G got the pressure on him now that he knows he better perform, he better ball out, because Trey Lance might get in there permanently if he doesn't. So he's got that spotlight on him, and I think he'll step up and do better than he had last year. We'll see if losing Robert Saleh is a big blow. The defensive coordinator is replaced by a former Houston linebacker. Here's a name from the past that we remember. D'Amico Ryan's the new DC in San Francisco. And we're a big fan of D'Amico Ryans back when we were playing IDP fantasy football, because he was a tackle machine. He got out
there
and
was.
Laid down everybody. So see what D'Amico's got in store, coach. I'm picking the Seahawks third, and I'm not picking them to make the playoffs. And that's tough because I'm a huge Russell Wilson fan. And, you know, I talked him up last year when he played MVP level football that first quarter of the season. I'm afraid for him, though. He was so sharp for that first half of the year, and then his play and his decision-making just took a thumbs down faster than the New York Mets. I mean, I don't know what happened, but he may bounce back, though, but he's in his 30s, so you don't want to guarantee that or think that's definitely going to happen. He may not bounce back. Maybe Shane Waldron, as the new OC, has some fresh ideas. We're laughing at Brian Schottenheimer and that predictable offense over the years, and finally it's got to the point where he had to go. It just wasn't. Everybody knew what was coming. You know, run the ball, and then Russ bomb on third. And finally, teams started catching up to that and figuring it out. And as a result, the Seahawks definitely took a tumble last year. They made the playoffs, but they got beat pretty badly in that first playoff game at home. And it didn't look good. And I don't know. I don't know about Russ. You know, it might be the beginning of the end. Sometimes it happens like that. The decline just starts and it never really ends. So, and that defense, like I said, in a division like that, if you don't have a defense that can handle all those other teams coming in, you're going to really struggle. And the Seahawks defense has always been a struggle. Still waiting on them to clone Jamal Adams so they can have him play all 11 positions right now. But until that happens, it's still going to be ugly. And then I got the Cardinals fourth, but, you know, mad respect for Kyler Murray, the fastest feet in the league. I mean, when that guy gets going, he's just a blur. So I'm not hating on the Cardinals, and I'm not saying they're going to, you know, be 6-11. I'm still doing the math there on 17 games. They're gonna fight. They're gonna contend. They were fun bad last year, like you said, and I don't think they're going to be bad this year. They're still going to be fun. I still think they're a notch below these other teams, but if they made a run, no one could possibly be surprised. They replaced one ancient wide receiver, Larry Fitzgerald, with another one in A.J. Brown. Okay, we'll see if A.J.'s got anything left. They really improved the pass D last year. They dropped their yards per average by a full yard. That's pretty impressive. And now J.J. Watt drops in to help the pressure. They could surprise. There's no doubt that the Cardinals could make a run, but for now I got them four, and that's my NFC West.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, we definitely do not have this division at all the same. We don't have any of the four teams in the same order
all right.
in this division. So we completely see the NFC West. Well, I can't say we completely see it different, but here's my order for the NFC West. I'm going with the Niners, then the Rams, then the fun bad Cardinals, and then the Seattle Seahawks to pull up the rear here. So I completely agree with you about the Rams and the Niners also both making the playoffs. I just have it in opposite order.
Okay.
So with the Niners at the top, yeah, you pretty much said it. I mean, they're basically coming back from being completely decimated by injuries last year in what 2 years ago was a Super Bowl team, you know, and a team that was really close to holding down Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. What were they, four minutes away from winning that Super Bowl? They were 56 minutes of great yeah. defensive football, you know, and some questionable offense there late and a missed deep throw, and they ended up going home losers. But, you know, they hung tough, and they definitely held down with that defense player in the league. And they're getting basically completely back healthy. They're getting these guys back, and that's one thing that you just can't overlook. You know, they had that run there last year for about the first 2-3 weeks of the season where they just kept losing like multiple guys per game.
Yeah.
And you know, and then they lose Jimmy G as well. So they basically played with no quarterback and a completely decimated defense. And we talked about it a lot last year that they weren't getting embarrassed. You know, they for a team that was basically fielding half of a football team, they were showing up. You know, their plus minuses were okay. They were consistently a cover You know, they were winning a few games. So they didn't just go out and, you know, lose half their defense and their starting quarterback and just go completely and crap the bet. So, and we didn't talk about this at all last night on the show. First time it's going to get a mention on this show, and it's probably one of the only times it's going to get a mention. Maybe one other team where I actually looked at this, the Niners have, because of the virtue of being bad, they have a very easy schedule.
Yeah.
They have, you know, for a team, again, two seasons removed away from a Super Bowl, they have got some cream puffs and all nicely spaced throughout the season. So even if you end up having a loss, this team has so many get-right games on their schedule this year that if they just win, you know, beat a couple of teams that you don't quite expect them to beat, and I think that they could win a very highly competitive NFC West. Yeah, the whole Garoppolo, Trey Lance, what have we found with Kyle Shanahan and quarterbacks? It actually doesn't matter who he picks. He's going to mine productivity out of just about anybody that goes back there and handles his offense. So when you actually go and you look at the list of all the quarterbacks that he's gotten productivity out in his career of coaching, it's not exactly, MVP, except for the Matt Ryan season. It's not a lot of MVP quality guys that he goes out there and actually gets production from. So
he'll get production. Beat hard. Shout out.
He'll get production out of both of those guys. I fully expect that they're going to come in and they're going to do a little, switching it up and trying to do like a Taysom Tebow type thing with Trey Lance, just to come in and get the legs moving. Or he's got the arm too. Better arm than Taysom Hill. That's for sure. But yeah, they could have a nice little thing going. I like the Rams. I also have the Rams making the playoffs. Yeah, defense is top-notch. Absolutely one of the best defenses in football. That 49ers defense last year completely decimated, and this Rams defense, which was top-rated last year, they're both really good. The Matthew Stafford thing I'm interested in, because I'll tell you one thing, Matthew Stafford has, he's never had a winning team, but that also means he's never been a winner. So I'm curious to see, at this stage of his career, coming into this system, how is he going to adapt to what Sean McVay and that team want to do with him? They're okay in the backfield, and again, you give Matthew Stafford never has really been graced with great backfields. You know, they get Sony Michel away from the Patriots, and then it's just a couple of guys after him. But I'm really interested to see with the guy, with Stafford coming in, and they're trying to fit him into the offense, because obviously Sean McVay has said this was where we were weak, right? This was the position. It was Jared Goff crapping the bed in that Super Bowl and looking scared at times, even though he was getting excellent production out of Goff for long stretches, where there were MVP talks about Jared Goff. Obviously, they soured on him, so they go and they get the veteran in Stafford. We'll see if it works. I'm curious to see how it works, but I'm a little worried for Stafford. I don't know if it's going to be one of those things where it gels right away, and I think that could be enough to get the Niners to just sort of eke them out. I like the fun bad Cardinals to take a step. They're not going to be fun bad this year. They're just going to be fun.
Okay.
So yeah, they get AJ Green, which is good for AJ Green. Cause one thing AJ Green knows he's not going to have to be is the man. They already have the man, right? They already have DeAndre Hopkins. They're going to get production out of Kirk. They're going to be fine there. And then Kyler Murray running around back there. He's got a middling running game, but everybody knows that the name of the game is Kyler Murray in the production and basically doing a younger version of what Russell Wilson's done for years, which is run around in the pocket, use the legs to create time, and then, heave that ball deep. And he's got the guys to go and get it. And that's going to be – a team's going to be a lot of fun. And they did improve the defense. They brought in J.J. Watt. They brought in Robert Alford. If he can stay healthy, in the secondary. So, yeah, I think the Cardinals are going to be that third-place team just on the outside of the playoffs. And I actually have Seattle taking taking a step back here. I had it last year. I'm just going to just keep predicting the demise of the Seattle Seahawks because it's eventually got to happen. You hear all the time. If there is a story that was overshadowed by all the Aaron Rodgers drama, it was the rumblings with Russell Wilson. That those rumblings are there. You know, and if it wasn't so much Aaron Rodgers is going to get traded. There's some discontent, I think, with Russell Wilson. We had to deal with the road rust last year, which was hard to watch, and that was in empty road stadiums. So it might be a little bit different this year. So I think they're still going to score some points. They are trying to slap together a defense, the Legion of Room, as we've now called it, because that is not the Legion of Doom anymore. And like you said, you can't have 11 Jamal Adamses out there. It looks like
it sometimes.
They could. It looks like it sometimes because he's everywhere, but that's just not going to work. So I've got the Seahawks to finish last this year. I don't think it's going to be like a 2-15 type last place finish, but I could see it being like a 6-win, 7-win last place. I think this division is probably very compressed. So I don't think that the difference between first place and last place is enormous. This isn't, you know, where you have the Jets at the bottom.
Right.
But, you know, that's just the order I'm going with.
Or the AFC North, that the Bengals are clearly going to be last.
Right. Yeah, I don't, you know, and again, you could probably take a poll of 100 different people who watch football or think they're football experts, and they'll all come up with different versions of these four teams because they are that close. At times they look that close, at least on paper.
And whoever turns out to be right will be able to scream and say, see, I had it the whole
That's
time.
Right.
I got the app open. Yay. I finally found it's under team season specials for 2021/22. So I'll read the divisions if I remember to do them for all of them. And you don't have to respond if nothing strikes your fancy, but just to have the information out there for those who are interested. Currently, right now on BetMGM, the Arizona Cardinals are +165 to make the playoffs, and to not make the playoffs is a -200 bet. I'm very interested to get to the Seattle one. If you think they're only going to win 6 or 7, that might be something you hear the odds and you might want to. Might want to send me some money for that anyway. The LA Rams are a -185 to make a playoff run and +150 if you want to bet no that they don't make the playoffs. The 49ers are a -200 to, yes, make the playoffs. That's a bit of a surprise to me. That's pretty high for all the troubles that they had last year. Bet that they don't make the playoffs, you actually make $165 for the $100 bet on that one. That's interesting. And then your Seahawks is a -130 to, yes, make a playoff push, and +110 for them not to make the playoffs. That's pretty close to even right there on the Seahawks.
Yeah, it's almost even money.
Yeah, so I'm a little surprised by that. So there's your NFC West preview. Yeah, definitely not kumbaya on that, so that's good. And that division is certainly ripe for a lot of discourse, no matter how you look at it, because, again, we both agree that they're so compressed and very evenly matched. So definitely going to be probably the most fun division to watch all year.
Yeah, and we talked, you alluded to it a little bit last night, that this might be the best division overall in football.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be, but it's going to be quietly the best division in football. This goes back to what we used to have a few years ago where we talked about the AFC South. It was quietly that good division that nobody ever wanted to talk about because the Texans, the Colts, the Jets, they were all good, or they were all at least like a tough out, you know. And I think that's what you're going to have with the NFC West this year. There isn't that nobody is circling any of these teams in that division on their schedule as a clear W.
That's right. Yeah,
all four
solid.
Of those teams, they're all quality, but only one team can, you know, represent the division in the playoffs. And if another one, or maybe who knows, two are lucky, they can go to the wild card. But you and I both have the Rams and the Niners in the playoffs this year.
That's right. So a little kumbaya.
A little bit.
One division that is definitely not quality all the way through, the NFC North. Oh, our guys. So our hometown division, we're both, of course, from Chicago. We've got a fun affinity for the rivalries and the games in this division. Bears, Lions, Packers, Vikings, just long history. But the Lions are definitely a team that's their thumbs down right now. No one thinks much of them and their abilities. They are minus 1,100 to make the playoffs and plus 700 if you want to pick them to make the playoffs right now. If you want to put that money down on the Lions, go right ahead. Like I said, minus 1,100 is a little rich for my blood, but
yeah.
I understand why the odds are what they are with them, because they are awful. So I'll go bottom up from 4-1 in the NFC North as far as the Lions go. Lions are one of three teams that I talked about one last night. Here are the Lions, and the third team will be the Eagles, which we'll get to later on. That they're all bringing in rookie head coaches that, through different ways of communicating in the offseason, displayed to me, showed to me through my TV screen or through my computer, that they are over their heads. They have no idea what they're doing. The Lions, this Dan Campbell guy, him and his ankle biters are ready to come in and take over the NFL. Like, dude, what the hell are you talking about? He is just a meathead that gets this job to go into Motown and try to lead this organization. This is what happens when you hire Matt Patricia and think that he's the answer, and you go 3 or 4 years, however long he was there. Like, you don't know what to do anymore after that. You see that idiot, one of our favorite coaches to make fun of all time, the dumbass with the pencil behind his ear. And now he's gone, and you're like, oh, God, I don't know what to do now, because I thought he was a genius. He came from New England. He was under Belichick. I thought we got the next big thing, and that didn't work out at all. So now you go the other way, and you go with this Dan Campbell, and he just seems to be a complete joke. Jared Goff lost his confidence with Sean McVay in L.A. Now he gets to piss off former Chargers coach Anthony Lynn, who's the O.C., in Detroit under Dan Campbell. So that whole situation just has a lot of comedy implications. It looks like it's going to be something that we might have to break out the Benny Hill a few times for the Lions this year, because that's probably going to be just that comical. So being in again with a online sports book, I got this booklet mailed to me that I did not request, called Insider's Betting Digest. And I remember getting this book regularly when I was betting online back in the 2000s. Obviously, this is some mailing list that they get anyone who happens to be betting online and just decide to send them stuff in the mail, which is interesting. But so it's a booklet that, you know, it's got the charts, the blank charts that you can fill in the point spreads for every game and the line movements, and keep up with it like that if you really want to do that, which I don't have time to do all that. And then they have a season preview, which is not, you know, this thing is like a pamphlet. It's not something, it's not like a big book that they send you. It can fit in your mailbox. It's that small, but they do have a little season preview for each team. And this is what Insider's Betting Digest thinks of Dan Campbell. This is the kind of respect that they gave him. They called him Dan Bradley in the book. They can't even get your name right. You don't have any respect. You don't have any. You don't have any respect. There's some people that think that this type of coach, you know, with the meathead and we're going to grind and we're going to bite their ankles and we're going to do this. Some people think that's like the way to go. Like, there's too much coddling of the athletes these days, that they need to go back to guys like Dan Campbell, who are just, you know, muscle bound meatheads trying to grind. I talked about this a little bit with Urban Meyer. You can't grind these guys down like that. This isn't a different era. This is a different world. These guys are professionals. They're millionaires. They need a reason to respect you, because if you don't give them a reason to, they're not going to. It's not the old days where you just walk in the room with the sweater that says coach across your chest and a whistle around your neck, and immediately you get respect. It doesn't work that way anymore. You have to actually earn these guys' respect. And guys like Urban Meyer and Dan Count, I don't think their heads are in the right place as far as trying to earn these guys' respect these days. So I'm going to laugh a lot at the Lions this year because they're probably just going to be really, really, really bad. The Bears are 3 on my list, and it's a real mystery because you don't know the quarterback situation. You don't know how long Matt Nagy's going to stick with Andy Dalton, and eventually he's got to go to Justin Fields. You know it's going to happen. You just don't know when it's going to happen. So a bit of a toss-up there. You don't know how good Fields is going to be when he gets in there because, of course, the problem with every Bears quarterback in the last 10 years is who the hell are you throwing to? There's never been a big amount of talent there. It's Allen Robinson and some guys right now. Chicago's spread to make the playoffs. If you want to pick them to make it, it's a +225 bet. If you want to bet against them and short them, even though they made the playoffs last year, even though they shouldn't have, but that's another story. But if you want to that they don't make it, that's a -275. So certainly understandable. But I'm on record, done with Matt Nagy, done with Ryan Pace, the general manager, done with the both of them. Just whatever they do, they're dead to me. You know, they can stay around as long as Virginia McCaskey wants to keep them around, but they're done as far as I'm concerned. They had their chance to prove that they knew what they were doing, and I don't think they know what they're doing. Still excited as fuck about Justin Fields. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to play the celebration right now because the regular season is about to start. Celebrating was in the offseason just to celebrate the fact that they had the balls to move up and make that pick. So happy about that. But now the work begins, the season begins, and even knowing he won't get in there before Halloween, I'm still excited about Justin Fields. I'd say before Halloween. He might get in there earlier. Who knows? We really don't know. The future's bright, but just a big question mark. Just no idea how they're going to play that situation. And then on the other side of the ball, no Kyle Fuller at cornerback in the division with Devontae Adams and Justin Jefferson and a new defensive coordinator, Sean Desai. He better have some rabbits up his sleeve in order to keep that ship afloat. I don't have a firm date for Nagy to bench Andy Dalton. How do you know? How does anybody know what they're going to do? So we got the Bears 3 just because the Lions are so terrible and just because they're clearly worse than the Vikings and the Packers. I have the Vikings number 2. I do have the Vikings to win a wild card spot, and Kirk Cousins is trash. So it doesn't matter what I think about him, but he's still trash, not just because of the vaccination situation, but because somebody said he's trash on social media, and it was this guy, Everson Griffin, who's a teammate again. Everson Griffin, the former Vikings defensive end, who is now back as a Vikings defensive end. But in between that time, when Everson was a Cowboy last year and he thought he was through with the Vikings organization, he put it right out there on Twitter, arguing with a fan, I believe, that, yeah, your quarterback, trash. We didn't want him. We don't like him. No one likes him. He's trash. And so now he's back with the team, Everson Griffin. I think that might be a subtle kind of sign about Kirk Cousins, about how the organization feels about Kirk Cousins. Because if you really love your franchise quarterback, you don't bring back a player that said he was trash publicly like that. You don't do that. So I don't think they like Kirk Cousins very much either. So Gary Kubiak's son, Clint, takes over the offense. The offense is productive, but as we know, balancing more Dalvin Cook and less Kirk Cousins, that's the key, always has been the key. We'll see if they can get that figured out. A motivated Patrick Peterson at cornerback will be a huge upgrade. The former Cardinal comes in, but the defense really never recovered from what Jimmy G did to them in that playoff game. That was very, very embarrassing. Yeah, I'm wondering if it's Mike Zimmer's farewell season. If they don't make this playoff run that I think they're going to make, and even if they do make it but they fall short, get embarrassed again in the playoffs, that might be curtains for Zimmer. I'm not calling it, but I definitely got my eye on him. That's a hot seat watch for sure as far as I'm concerned. I was going to look up the everyone's lines here. Minnesota's season picks, yes to make the playoffs is a +115, no is a -140. Interesting. So slight favorite to not make the playoffs. And then the Packers at number 1 for me, the division winners. and One More Run, the Aaron Rodgers Last Dance documentary that ESPN is going to be recording and filming. I'm not saying that they're definitely going to do that, but I'm just saying this appears to be something like what the Bulls and went through with Michael Jordan his last year. Everyone knows they're not going to be together after the season's over, but they're going to make one last run at it. The Packers to make the playoffs, yes, is a minus 275. No, is a plus 225. That actually seems like some good money to me to lay down minus 275 for the Packers to make. I don't think there's any question they're making the playoffs, especially with Aaron Rodgers this year, extra motivated again to show that he's that MVP season wasn't a fluke, to show that he still got it, that he's ready to hit the market next year or swing a trade, however that's going to work. That he's ready to go. He's ready to show that he's still the man and that the Packers are just a bunch of idiots. Clearly those two entities don't like each other, the organization and the player, but they're going to get along. They're going to, they're going to stay married for the kids for one more year and try to make one more run out of it. An unusual arrangement in order to get Rodgers to not leave football rather than play for you, because your management of the team sucks so hard. You have to basically promise him that he can leave after this season. I've never heard of anything like that. That is crazy. He's going to need his left tackle, David Bakhtiari, healthy for the playoffs. He's still making his way back from getting hurt right before their NFC title game last year. Nothing's happening if Bakhtiari is not 100% by then. I said that they were going to eventually go down in the playoffs because they couldn't protect Aaron Rodgers, and it took a while. It took to the conference title game, but they did eventually go down, and they'll go down again if they can't protect them. Joe Barry drops in from the Rams as the new DC to try to figure out how to shore up the run D. They gave up 4.5 yards per carry last year. That's a big problem for them. It would be 13 wins if they got there. It'd be the third year in a row for 13 wins. So that's why I'd say, yes, the playoffs minus 275. That seems to be a very sure bet for the Packers. So I definitely got the Packers number one.
Yeah, this one, kumbaya. We are 100% kumbaya in this division. Same as you, Packers, Vikings, Bears, and Lions. With one difference, I don't have enough wildcard teams coming out of this division. So I just have the Packers taking the North and everybody else watching football in mid-January and mid-February.
Yeah.
But, the Packers are clearly they're the cream of the crop here. They brought them all – they brought everybody back. I mean, really, they brought back Rodgers. They re-signed Aaron Jones despite my protests. I thought that was money that was better spent elsewhere. They brought him back. Aaron Rodgers just decided they're going to bring back Randall Cobb because he wants him back. So he's going to slide in probably as their number four receiver, but that's a stacked receiving core. And they added Amari Rodgers, the rookie, to that. They've got AJ Dillon backing up Aaron Jones. And I think that's going to be, I don't think that's going to be more of Jones being the number one and Dillon being sort of the change of pace. I could see, especially with the gains that Dillon was making in the playoffs, I don't think that's going to quite be a 50-50 type committee, but I could see it 60-40. I could see Jones starting off a lot of games, and then you start to get into the second and third quarter, and then all of a sudden here comes Dillon, here comes the hammer. All of a sudden he's just going to, take over a drive. The secondary was a huge problem for them. So they spent their first-round draft pick on a cornerback. Wouldn't be surprised if he eventually supplants Kevin King, and that doesn't happen quick after Kevin King pretty much crapped the bed. Don't know how he came back. That's one of those that just jumped out at me like, really? You brought that guy back? But we'll see. They can get after the quarterback. We know that. They started doing it some in the playoffs. And, they got the Smiths. So, the Packers, they're the best team in that division. You're the best team in the division when the big splash that you made leading up to the season starting was you traded for a punter. They got rid of J.K. Scott, who was, 20 in the low 20s as far as his net last year. And they bring in the guy from the Rams, this Bajorquez, who was the best punter in the league last year.
I think I could be plus 20. That's nothing.
So
I can't punt at all.
There you go. So it's how you know you're tinkering around with a good team. and you said it, they've 13 wins multiple seasons in a row, minutes away from possibly going to a Super Bowl, a questionable field goal call by the coach that probably drove the biggest wedge into the, you know, into Rodgers going into the off season. So it'll be interesting to see the chemistry. If there's anything that's going to do this team in, other than injuries, it's going to be the animosity between player and coach. Especially if the player thinks that the coach is an idiot. And clearly after that call not to go for it on fourth down in the NFC Championship game and kicking the field goal, trying to get the ball back, and they never really did. And that sort of just broke the heart, I believe, of the quarterback. But he still came back. Despite everything that you thought, he still came back. I have the Vikings number two. Yeah, people don't like Kirk Cousins, but Kirk Cousins is a really good regular season quarterback. He comes up small in the big moments, but, you know, there are small moments during a now 17-game season. He's got a world-class running back. He's got great receivers. And the defense, they're good on the back, and they're a little long in the tooth up front. So, yeah, they feel like a 100 team to me. They really do. The Bears, the Bears. I know you were really kicking yourself not being able to go higher than the Bears for third place, but here it comes. Andy Dalton was the obvious choice to start the season, despite what I'm reading from all the blogs, and I'm sure all the pissed off Bear fans. You know, I wouldn't start a rookie quarterback in this short preseason era and just throw him out there to the wolves. Andy Dalton needs to go out there and lose that job, especially in that town, in that media market, and that fan base, a fan base that doesn't know what to do if they got a good quarterback, because, you know, they'll run anybody out of town who is the top guy, even if he's good, even if he produces. So if Justin Fields gets to come in on his on the white horse and save the day, that's just the way it's going to have to happen, right?
We want Caleb Haney.
Oh, man. So this way Andy Dalton can go out, and you know, there's only two ways it goes. He's serviceable, and he does a Ryan Fitzpatrick impersonation and kind of limps along, and you get a few wins. And, you know, it's good enough to start the season, but that team is definitely, like you said, they're downgraded on the defensive side of the ball. They don't really have a lot of weapons on offense. Matt Nagy's probably a dead man walking at the coach position. This is probably a lame duck season for Matt Nagy, who shouldn't be there to begin with, who pretty much lucked into keeping that job. Let Fields come in, let Dalton lose the fan base, you know, and then let Fields come in and then get a little fire. Maybe Matt Nagy thinks that's what it's going to take to kind of save his. See, I got the rookie in now. You got to keep me. I don't think it's going to be enough. And the Lions are a joke. So there you go. That's the NFC North.
What a lovely detailed breakdown of the Detroit Lions. How far are the Packers going to go to placate Aaron Rodgers? Are they going to trade a third-round pick to get Jake Kumerow back for him? What, you're just bringing guys back? I want him. Okay, we'll go get him. Like, I've never seen – this is the most power that a player, I think, has ever exerted over his organization, because they – had no idea how to bring him back. Like, it was looking for a while, not just like he was going to force a trade, but if he didn't get the trade, it was looking like he was going to quit and go try to host Jeopardy or something. It was,
yeah,
that was the craziest off season. And all after all of that, he's back. Like, I really, really thought it was broken. I've never seen a player organization situation so broken like that, but he came back anyway. Like I said, they had to basically promise him that he can, it's like the marriage where the wife comes back, but you promise that she can go cheat around and slut around. Like, okay, you're still married, but you're not really married anymore.
Yeah. You know? Well, here's the weird thing, you know, if I'm Rodgers and I'm looking around and here's all the places that you can go, right? Here are all the teams who are interested. He's not a dumb guy, because what you have to eventually look at and go is, none of those teams are even close to being as good as the team I'm on. I mean, if it really is, where can I leave and go to and I have the best chance to win a Super Bowl right off in the sunset? he's on that team. So that's where the team had the leverage. So Rodgers can do the things he wants, and he can get the Packers to send a really, really, really low-round draft pick to Houston to get Randall Cobb, his buddy, back, and he can say all the things in the media and play all the games. But I think they both need each other, and I think that's why he's there again.
Yeah. It's still very, very odd, so we'll see how that shakes out throughout the season.
It's very odd, and you as a Bears fan, very frustrating, because you want him gone.
I thought he was so gone. I really did. All right, on to the NFC South. When you talk about these lines for who's going to make the playoffs and who's not, here's a situation where I think the value really stands out for Packers minus 275 because, fine, it's Tom Brady, it's Tampa Bay, it's Tampa Bay, it's the defending world champions. But it's not like this team, you know, won 13 games like the Packers did last year. They kind of, you know, rounded into form later as the season went on. They didn't look so hot the first half of the year. And yet after all of that, Tampa Bay minus 650 to make the playoffs this year. Compare that to the Packers minus 275. That's like a no-brainer, isn't it? Like you've got to, if you're going to put any money on a team to make it, the Packers is certainly obviously a much, much, much better value than the Buccaneers. And if you think Tampa's going to fall apart, plus 475 to not make the playoffs. Whew. If you get that right, you got all the bragging rights and you got the money and you deserve it if that actually comes through. But I do not have that. I have Tampa number one to win the division. This is where Tom Brady and the Buccaneers having that continuity and having that roster fluidity where they basically didn't lose anybody. Like all 22 of the starting players from last year's championship team are all back. And in this era of free agency, I don't know if I've ever seen that. So I don't think it's ever happened. Basically, the whole squad, you know, is back and intact the next year. You got to be scared of Tampa just because of that. No matter how old Brady is, obviously, you know, age doesn't seem to really bother him too much. And I say that knowing that he has shown signs of not being very effective. Like, again, that first half of the season last year with Tampa Bay, was like, he don't look so hot. That arm is not so strong.
Those three picks in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, yeah. Did not look so hot. Didn't look so hot against the Saints until the fourth quarter. But he put it together. But everyone's back. You got to be afraid of them. You know, Brady didn't play his best until after Thanksgiving. How good can the defense get? They played unbelievable in the playoffs, and they might get better. They're not old at all, and they're all back, and they're all intact. They might actually even be better. Arians and Brady, they sort of out-breeze Breeze when you think about it. Like, they had the veteran quarterback and the veteran coach, the genius offensive coach combination thing that Brady and Sean Payton, or Breeze and Sean Payton, put together and won a championship. And then here comes, you know, Bruce Arians and Tom Brady teaming up, and they do it on their first try. The first year that they're together, they go all the way and win the title. Very impressive. Very, very impressive run. Can they follow it up with all the expectations on them this year? I think they had the joy of not having too high an expectation last year, and they were able to sort of grow into each other. It seemed like they were fighting each other. Like, Arians would sort of air out Brady a little bit after some games. Like, you know, this guy might be a legend, but I still don't know what the hell he's doing, that type of thing. And, you know, Arians can be abrasive. Brady, of course, is set in ways. But they found a way. They melded together eventually. And went all the way. So it's fun to watch when, you know, two headstrong guys like that, because, you know, privately they're probably peeling the paint in the locker room going at each other. But at the end of the day, they settle in and they're on the same page when it's all said and done. They didn't lose either one of their coordinators either. Everyone's back to the party. No reason not to pick Tampa number one in this division, especially when you look at the other three teams in this division, the Saints and the Falcons and the Carolina Panthers. The Saints, I talked about this a little bit before the season began. Obviously, you got to look at them taking a step back with Drew Brees retiring, and now Jameis Winston takes over. But I don't have them taking too far of a step back, because my third wild card team for Wild Thing Jameis Winston, I got the Saints still making the playoffs, my number two team in the NFC South. And Jameis might be a revelation, or he might not, because I drafted him in fantasy, so maybe he's – I might have put the jinx on him. I apologize.
Uh-oh, if I did do that. He's done.
Sorry. But Sean Payton now gets to team up with a former top draft pick with a bigger arm than Drew Brees, and whatever you think of Jameis, you have to admit that could be a magic connection. That really could be something that Sean gets to finally bring out some parts of the playbook, some deeper ball stuff that he didn't have a chance to bring out the last 3 or 4 or 5 years as Drew Brees' body slowly disintegrated before our eyes. So this might open up some other parts of Sean Payton's brain and some other parts of the field. Of course, they won't have Michael Thomas at the beginning of the year, that he's beat up, but he could have taken care of that a lot earlier than he did. So there's definitely some controversy there. That player organization relationship isn't very good either. I don't know if it's on the Aaron Rodgers Packers level, but clearly there's some dissension there. So not saying that they're going to be great or, you know, 11 wins or something like that, but I think I got them sneaking in as a third wild card team. That coaching staff has been in place for years. They're veteran. They know what they want to do. They got their game plans. And I think that counts for a lot, especially here in this era of COVID, where there's so many moving parts, so many more players and coaches that are in and out and got to sit out for 2 weeks if you got COVID and got to, you know, miss this time because you're a close contact. I think it's even more important to look at those veteran teams, those teams that have coaches and players that have been in the same system for a long time, and they don't have to really do that much when the season starts. As far as figuring out who's where, who's on the field, who's in what position, to sit there and watch and learn last year. So he gets to slide right in and do what he can do. And you don't have to rely on Taysom Hill trying to go out there and pretend quarterback and win games that way. So that's a good thing. As Sean Payton's got a big ego and wants to prove that he can be a genius and win with anybody, I think he knew better. I think he knew that you got to go in this spot with Jameis Winston over Taysom Hill as your quarterback. He'll still have Taysom to throw out there for some trick plays and whatnot. So they'll still have some creativity as far as that goes. So they can overcome Breeze. They can overcome Hurricane Ida. They can overcome anything down there in New Orleans because they still got the bones in place for a good foundation. The Falcons do not have the bones in place for a good foundation. I have them third in this division. I wish Julio could have stayed because he really shouldn't play anywhere else. This is like him going to the Titans. I'm glad to have him as a Titans fan, but he really left Atlanta. I think that's another sad situation as far as organization and player, like the rift that came there, that Julio basically felt disrespected, that it took so long to get a new deal, and that kind of started the rift and eventually winds up with him going and moving on to Tennessee. I'm sad to see him gone from there. But I don't think Matty Ice will be short on explosive plays because Calvin Ridley has developed into number one, so he's going to take over Julio's spot basically. He's the truth. I'm a big fan of his, and Kyle Pitts, the rookie tight end, might be a beast. But oh my God, that pass defense! Woo, that's going to be their downfall for sure, especially playing against the Saints and the Buccaneers. And then Carolina is fourth for me. The Panthers and Sam Darnold, they'll try to figure things out. That whole organization, Matt Rhule's got the college all-star admin there. He's got the college offensive coordinator. He's got the college defensive coordinator. He's a college coach. Like that only goes so far. Didn't look so hot last year, 5-11. Of course, Christian McCaffrey getting hurt has a big part to do with that. So he's back. If he's available for all 17, I almost said all 16, but if he's available for all 17, that's a big weapon. But otherwise, there's not much there in Carolina. So I got them finishing last in that division.
Oh, okay. Almost kumbaya in this division. So we're really close on this one. So I'm going to go ahead and start at the top and go in order here. I've got it Bucks, Saints, Panthers, and then Falcons. Mm. So we're only different at the bottom, and I, like you, have the Saints in the playoffs. So I've got Wild Thing. I believe in the power of the LASIK. I believe that Sean Payton is getting a guy who, what, two seasons ago threw for 5,100 yards. I mean, everybody wants to pile up on the 30 picks, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it was still, in that Bruce Arians offense, a boatload of touchdowns, tons of dynamic plays, and a lot of plays that just made you slap yourself in the head and go, what on earth were you doing? What, really? But he threw for 5,100 yards. So the arm talent is there. He clearly can play the quarterback position. And he goes from one offensive guru to another, and now he can see.
He can see clearly now. The rain is gone.
So, Tampa at the top, yeah. Like you said, they brought the band back together. The only thing you fear for in a situation like this is kind of what we saw last year with the Chiefs. How bored are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going to be? And, yeah, I know Tom Brady is the ultimate competitor, blah, 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 right? But he's a guy. He's one guy. And like you said, it took this team quite a while last year to really gel. They were good but not great, and they had some very mediocre showings. They had some games that they pulled out of the fire like good teams do. They caught some breaks in the playoffs, right? They had some tough efforts, some bad efforts that they still ended up winning the game. They kind of had a middling game against Washington. They didn't look great for 2.5 quarters against the Saints. And their defense then took over and won the NFC Championship in the Super Bowl. They didn't really need too much out of Tom Brady for those two games. We'll see if everybody coming back and one more year. Yeah, you're right. It is pretty much you take the team from the Super Bowl, it's the same team. It's the 22, and you don't see that. You are correct. So we'll see how that translates into success for this year, but I think that's good enough for them to come out on top in that division. I talked about the Saints. I've got Carolina sliding into that number three spot, and we'll see what Ghost Boy can do, right? We'll see. He's got a ultra talented running back in Christian McCaffrey. He can run. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. Darnold gets reunited with his best receiver from his Jets days and Robbie Anderson, probably about the only guy he had a connection with in his time with the Jets. It's a better offensive line than he had with the Jets, so maybe he won't be seeing those ghosts. So that should be an improvement for Darnold, getting just getting that fresh start, right? How many of these young, highly drafted quarterbacks never really get that second chance, right? They flame out, and that's it. You never really hear from them again. They're a backup somewhere, and then they're out of the league, or they're just out of the league because they're trash. So Sam Darnold gets another chance. The talent has been there in flashes with Darnold, so I'll be interested to see if they can catch anything, like hit some lightning in a bottle with this guy and go from there. And you got P.J. Walker, the unbeatable P.J. Walker, right behind him in the wings if he goes down.
He's the man.
So, it'll be interesting season for the Panthers. I've got Atlanta now this year. I said that the Cardinals have upgraded from fun bad to just fun. The Falcons are going to be my fun bad team this year. Falcons are going to lose some games, 38-34, a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, this is that much offensive talent, even losing Julio Jones. And they go out and they get the highest drafted tight end ever. So you're going to have Hayden Hurst and Kyle Pitts, I'm sure, probably both out in formation quite often. They have Mike Davis. They signed Wayne Gallman, who was not a great player, but a great backup type running back, and Calvin Ridley jumping up into that number one spot. Not only did you talk about their terrible back end, they also refused to rush the passer. So
quite a combination.
That's not what you really want to see. So it's okay. You can have one and not the other and generally survive, right? You can not get a ton of pressure and just be superior on the back end and you can hold up, right? You can be the Titans. Or you could just get a ton of pressure, then your secondary doesn't even matter. Those guys can all be trash. You've just got, you know, you're giving the quarterback a second and a half or 2 seconds to throw the ball and you can overcome. No, Atlanta's got neither. So going to be a long season for them. They're probably drafting Matt Ryan's replacement after this season. Everybody thought they were going to be the team at eight, that was going to jump up. I believe they were originally drafting at four. And that was where they took, Pitts. So yeah. I'm sorry, it wasn't at eight, it was at four. That they thought that at four, they were going to be the team that was going to jump up and take Justin Fields. I wasn't on board with them drafting a quarterback this year because I think Matt Ryan still has some good football left in him. But I'm okay with them doing it next year because they'll probably be drafting pretty close to that again.
Right. I was looking at the odds for the division. The Saints are pretty close to even. I didn't think that – I thought we were going to be...
Nobody's given Jameis Winston any love. We are.
No, I thought they were going to have them worse because of Drew Brees.
Maybe they are giving him some love.
Right. I thought you and I were going to be the only ones putting him anywhere near the playoffs, actually, but that's not the case. The Saints are actually plus 110 to make the playoffs and only minus 130 to not make the playoffs.
That's
pretty
close to even money, yeah.
I was a little surprised by that. And then... between the Falcons and the Panthers, there's no reason to care about it, but I just wanted to see what the odds were to compare because since you got the Falcons on the bottom and I got the Panthers on the bottom to see what the actual betting odds say about that, which one do they have finishing worse. So the Falcons are plus 225 to make the playoffs and Noah is minus 275, whereas the Panthers – are plus 240 to make the playoffs and minus 300. So by a very slight margin, they have the Panthers as the worst of the.
But the odds makers have made it known they both stink.
Yes, that is correct.
All right. So if all we're fighting on in that division is the order of 3 and 4, then I think we're okay. Our geniusness is intact.
And so on to our favorite division to talk about, the NFC East. Everyone
the best
loves
for
talking about the NFC East. Yes, of course.
No.
Or the worst for last.
Well, we got 12 minutes to do it.
As always. So I'll go bottom to top here. I'll start with the G-men at 4 for me. The reports indicate that Saquon Barkley may never quite be the same. He might not be the every-down bell cow that he was supposed to be before his knee got torn up really bad last year. I think that was in Chicago, as a matter of fact. So already things are looking bleak for the G-men. Jason Garrett get Danny Dimes and Colt McCoy to a 6.5 yard average mark last year and with no protection. That might drop. It might even be worse this year than last. So I got the Giants on the bottom of that division. I'd kind of like Jalen Hurts. I think he showed some playmaking ability. I think he showed some poise. However, I got him 3. I got the Eagles number 3 in this division. This is the third coach that I think the third new coach that got hired in the offseason that I think just showed me that he's not ready for this job. Like Nick Sirianni had, like, I don't even remember the specifics, but his opener press conference when he got hired, it was just the most mealy mouth, non-confident. It was the opposite of Dan Campbell being ultra, uber, super confident. We're going to bite ankles. Sirianni was like, we're going to try to be competitive. He just sounded like he didn't really have the confidence that you'd be an NFL head coach. He struck me as someone who's over his head as far as his job. He got just gave off this wimpy vibe, just out of his element. I think I've never seen a presser that, like, where a guy just did not seem to be in the job at all. Like, he didn't seem to be somebody that should be and it's unfair to judge him on that, but, God, he looked so unprepared to take that gig, just like Urban Meyer, just like Dan Campbell. So I'm big thumbs down on all three of those teams. I did like what I saw from Hurts, but he still had moments that were too big for him. That Devontae Smith guy is at the new wide receiver. They definitely need some help there. Didn't you tell me he was pretty good?
I heard he's all right.
Yeah, not bad. See, Giants, look, the app, the screen keeps locking, so that's why every time I swipe on it. But other than that, I think I figured this app out. So Giants plus 225 the playoffs and minus 275 not to make the playoffs. I think that's a pretty good bet for minus 275. I don't think that's too far off the mark. The only problem there is anyone in the NFC East can possibly make it because, again, you might only need 7 or 8 wins to actually win the division. So that's the problem with that. And then Philadelphia's odds are plus 275 to make the playoffs, minus 350 not to make the playoffs. That's actually worse odds than the Giants.
Yeah,
that's a little surprising to me. Dallas, of course, is going to have the odds to be, I assume they're going to be the odds on possibly favorite to make it. Yeah, minus 125 to make the playoffs and plus 105 to make it. So I think that probably makes them the favorite. And then Washington, plus 145 to once again make the playoffs, minus 175 if you got them to not make it. So by those odds, the football team, the Potato Skins will take a step back and the Cowboys will step up with Dak Prescott coming back for them. I got the Cowboys number 2 and staying down below the football team. Dallas, the 2 big-ass question marks, is Dak back from that ankle and is the O-line healthy? Because that O-line is all the difference for that offense, blocking for Zeke Elliott and also protecting Dak Prescott. I think we've seen over the last few years they used to have by far – by the naked eye and also by the metrics, the best offensive line in football. And that's just not the case anymore.
No, that's the Colts now.
So if you're not able to block for Zeke and you're not able to protect Dak, I think that's why I have the Cowboys taking a step back and not being able to recover and be as great as people think they're going to be with Dak coming back. It doesn't look good early as far as those old lines. They got injuries, they got COVID issues. Zach Martin, their all-pro guard, is not going to play in the opener tomorrow night because he's got the goop. On the positive, nothing but rave reviews in camp for that rookie linebacker, Micah Parsons, so that's something good for them. But, of course, the big question there is he as great a man as Sean Lee? Because if he's not, then there's nothing you can do about that.
Is that an NBC game tomorrow?
Oh, I believe it is.
How far do we get into that game before we have to hear them talking about Sean Lee?
Oh, I'm sure it's not going to be very far. I'm sure the first time they talk about Micah Parsons, they'll bring up Sean Lee right with them. How much will they miss Sean Lee?
They'll cut to him in the stands.
Right.
There's Sean Lee up in the booth. Oh, man.
He'll probably be sitting right next to Jerry. Yeah, the Cowboys got gashed versus the run last year, so Parsons will immediately help that along with Quinn. They need that help defensively. And then Washington at number 1 for me in the NFC East to repeat and win the division again. Chico Rivera leading a hungry defense that just killed the undefeated season of the Steelers. Sorry, Bryce, trying to bring that up again. Just grinded their way to a division title. And now they add Fitzmagic at quarterback. Probably their biggest question mark last year was the circus at quarterback and the revolving door, and now they got Fitzmagic in there to lend some stability. So they'll at least be fun. I don't know how great they'll be, but I think they'll be good enough to win this division. That passing attack last year was just sickly, so Fitzmagic will at least bring some long balls and some fun to that position. I think they can definitely win the NFC East again. If Fitzmagic can find some weapons to assist Terry McLaurin, who is an established professional receiver there, and of course that defense and Dung and Vontaze Sweat getting after quarterbacks. I actually got Washington to repeat in the East.
Wow, we are not anywhere close to kumbaya in this division. I'll go down the order here. This will probably be, we saved the best for last as far as us disagreeing. I'm going Cowboys, Giants, Potato Skins, and Eagles. And in miracle of miracles, I got the tryhards in the playoffs this year.
Mm.
I've got the G-men. I've got the Giants. It's a bad division. It's a bad conference. Yeah. You could have one of those, you know, you're going to have that team that's 8-9 or 9-8 that might have a chance. I mean, they might win the division, but you're going to have a team that's going to sneak in that you didn't think has any business being there. We saw the Bears do it, right? We saw the Bills do it a few years ago. This year I've got the G-men doing it. I think Dak will be fine. First of all, it's a leg. It's not an arm. It's not a shoulder. He's going to still be able to throw the football. We've seen quarterbacks, even if they lose a little bit of their mobility. I mean, we watched Aaron Rodgers play MVP caliber football on one leg. So with the rules of the NFL.
Pointing the other way, though, right?
No, and it was a shattered ankle, and he's got the best health care of anybody I know. Helping him get back from that, and they say he's back. I'm gonna believe he's back. They gave him the bag. You wouldn't have given that guy $40 million a year if you didn't think he was gonna come back. You weren't gonna give him like pity money. So I think with a healthy Dak Prescott, with any improvements to that defense, you know, I will say one thing about Dan Quinn. Those guys will be fast. But yeah, Mike, that's the only thing that gives me any pause is you got Mike McCarthy and Dan Quinn on the same coaching staff. Ooh, boy. It's going to be – if this team does flame out, it's going to be fun. Nobody's going to have more fun watching that than me. But I think on paper, I think they're the most talented team top to bottom in the division. So we'll see how that goes. Yeah, Saquon Barkley might not be back with the New York Giants. He might not ever be back to 100%. But I'll take 80% of Saquon Barkley. Just the addition of getting him back and what he can do in the passing game, and taking a 70. Oh, okay, maybe those 75-yard checkdowns become 60-yard checkdowns. That's fine with me. So I think the Giants are going to be that team. They're going to play an easy schedule. They were terrible last year. You know, we'll see with Daniel Jones getting his running back. He's got loads of weapons. You know, they took Kenny Golladay away from Detroit. They got Sterling Shepard. He's got Evan Ingram. That's not a bad offense. That might be the second best offense in that division. The football team, you know, where they clearly, you said it, they needed a quarterback. Their answer, Fitzmagic. That's why I have them in third place. Because they could have gone and they could have made a move. They could have made a splash. And I don't know if this is another one of these. We got this defensive-minded head coach, and they just really don't want to put the investment into the offense when there was clearly a glaring need there. And the best you can do is the journeyman Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's gonna, you know, we know what he'll do, right? You turn over Bernie Sanders, he'll have some of those great games, and then he'll have those games. You go, oh. Ryan, what are you doing? And only Taylor Heinicke behind him to save him. And, the Eagles, they don't really give me a whole lot of confidence. Jalen Hurts was nice, you know, but that's about it. You know, he still feels like a rookie to me. He came in and he made the splash for them and almost got them to the playoffs, other than some questionable decisions by Doug Peterson in that last game of the year, taking him out. But there's just something about that Eagles team to me that just kind of screams last place. So we got to make a pick. We got 90 seconds to do it.
We do. Did you want to give our, your NFC champion and Super Bowl picks first before we make our pick, or do you want to just get the pick in?
My NFC, title game, I have the Bucks over the Rams, and then for the Super Bowl, and you'll see why I did this. I'm taking Tampa to repeat over the Bills because I'm stopping this shit right now.
I like it. Just cut that Tom Brady crap out right now. I like
it. I'm picking it so that I'm ending it right now.
I got you. I understand. I don't know who my title game would be. Maybe Aaron Rodgers to make it. Against the L.A. Rams, but I like the marriage. I like McVay and Stafford. I got the L.A. Rams to win the NFC, to go to the Super Bowl, and eventually lose to Pat Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh,
I got
okay.
The Chiefs back in the saddle on top.
Wow. All right. Well, means that we both have the Rams in the conference championship, even though I have them as a wild card and you have them as a division winner.
Yep. So not 90 seconds, but more like 30 to make our first pick of the season, or 10 seconds. Dallas.
Let's get it on the record, and then we'll talk about it in the after show.
Dallas plus 8 at who you got?
Cowboys.
I got the Bucks.
All right.
And there you go.
Head to head. Game one.
That's right. No locks.
No locks.
But right off the bat against each other in the first game tomorrow night. Real football coming back. And we'll have more on our after show when we come back. And now into our VIP after show program. Once again, I want to thank Robert O for our new theme song entitled Spheres. Is it growing on you yet with the little strings?
It's only been 2 days.
Okay. Well, I like it.
The snake charmer. Yeah. I like our snake charmer music this year.
Yeah, I'm thinking that the Buccaneers are going to come out and beat the Cowboys up a little bit. I talked about Zach Martin not being there at guard, just illustrating the issues that why the Cowboys have looked a little less impressive each year the last few years as their O-line breaks down. As Zeke Elliott's numbers break down, he looks a little less impressive. And again, that first game coming off of that bad ankle, maybe some Dak time in store. Maybe he'll get it going by the second half. He'll need that time to loosen up his surgically repaired ankle. But yeah, I don't think it's going to be enough. I think Tampa's going to put a spanking on him and beat him by a few possessions.
Yeah, no, I'm not taking them to win, but I'm taking them to keep that to a one score game. Usually, when you have these top teams, this is when you get them, right? Right now, week one, you haven't had a lot of preseason. Not everybody has gelled. Yeah, they brought everybody back, but how much have these guys actually played together since the Super Bowl? Probably not that much. So I think if you can sneak something in or catch a guy in the wrong spot, I think you can do it. You can always find a way to come up with something against these top teams in week one. Sometimes these teams, they come out flat and then they got to come back and then they still win the game. They win by 3 or 4 points or they kick the last second field goal or they get that late score to put things away. But yeah, Dak time is always there. So you should definitely be afraid if it's, 20-3 at halftime. So the more that the Bucks can get up early in this game should actually make you scared because then, that garbage time touchdown from Dak is probably going to be coming and he's going to have to throw for 400 yards, but he's going to throw for 240 of it in the fourth quarter.
He may well do that, but there's just a couple of factors against that happening as far as I'm concerned. One is the first game back to that gruesome injury, and the second is, okay, go and do that to the Buccaneers' defense. Go and put up 400 yards in the second half against that D. I dare you. Go ahead. I want to see him do that.
It's a new season. Last season's over.
Yeah, but all those guys are back again. I probably should be picking Tampa to repeat as Super Bowl champs because everyone is back. The team that
you should have
run is back.
I wish you would have because then it was guaranteed not to happen.
Right. It made too much sense. That's why I couldn't do it because it's just.
That's why That's why I did it because I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do something. I'm going to pick the Packers. I'm going to pick the Rams. I'm going to try to be the smartest guy in the room. And it got, and it's like, damn it. Oh, God, there's Brady. So I'm doing the if you can't beat them, join them thing this year. I mean, nothing would. So I make that pick with the full understanding that I don't want that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I would much rather have the Bills to win the Super Bowl or the Packers to go, to go back. I would much rather have a Bills-Packers Super Bowl than Bills and Bucks, But we'll see. It's a long season. We could be looking at the end of the, first quarter tomorrow and Tampa could lose two of their defensive starters and all kinds of craziness is afoot because it's a new season. And that's the beauty of it, right?
Yeah, as I said last night, anyone taking these season predictions that seriously is crazy because you have no fucking idea what's going to happen once those games kick off. There's so many of these teams are going to look completely different in January than they look right now because of injuries and because of COVID, because of so many different situations that, you know, we're just picking it for fun. We're just having fun shooting the shit. That's, you know, 3 hot hours of football talk between last night and tonight, just getting lubed up and ready for real football to start. So it's just good to talk about football again.
So the word is that are you still anticipating not being here for week 2?
Yep. Here's our schedule set up for the next couple of weeks. We're coming back on Saturday night, unless you had something going on and wanted to change our first week 1 show. We'll be back Saturday night at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern for our 1 hour football party, just to make all the picks for week 1 and talk about, of course, the Thursday nighter. And so then week 2 is going to be a special event. It's going to be Jay and the Cute Factors, because I'm going to be in Cancun, baby. Yes, I'm still planning to make it down there. We got hurricane season. We got I'm looking at the forecast for Cancun and I see nothing but rain every single day. So we're going to be apparently in those resorts and not doing too much of anything else. But yeah, I'm still planning to make that trip. Me and the wife are going to be in Cancun starting next Tuesday and going all the way through to next Sunday. So to the Sunday after that, I should say. So yeah, week 2, I'm not going to be around. It's going to be you and the Cute Factors, and I'll be doing my research and sending you my picks before the show that Saturday night. And but I'm not going to be there. I threatened to call in, but I don't think I'm even going to do that. I think it's just going to be
don't do it.
Don't do it. Yeah.
Don't do it. Yeah. Just email me or text me your picks. And they will get read live on air Saturday the 18th. Might be a little earlier show. I don't think I'm keeping the kids up till 9 to do that show. So that'll be probably like an 8 p.m. show, probably just enough for me to have some silliness, get my picks in. The kids, I think, are probably going to want to offer up some picks or make fun of yours. So.
That's your wife's job to make fun of all my picks.
And to be you in fantasy
teams. Yes.
That's right. No, I got to get – no, Trent, you know, Trent will be 10 this next year coming up. She's old enough to have a fantasy team. So then you could have the disgrace of losing to my daughter in fantasy football.
That's gonna happen. That's guaranteed to happen. No doubt about it.
So yeah, that'll be fun. But then you'll be back for our regularly scheduled football party. I'm assuming you'll also be tweeting out your Thursday night pick for Thursday the 16th as usual.
Yeah, I'll have to remember to do that.
Yeah,
all the things that's going on
with all the traveling you got going on. There will be a Thursday night game that week too.
Sure will. I'll hopefully remember. You might have to remind me, but yeah.
Well, your reminder will be when you see my pick. I'll text you. But yeah, we have a great game, Giants and football team. That's our Thursday night game.
Wow. I think I know what my pick will be for that already now, so you don't have to really have too much mystery.
No, it's okay. You never know what could happen between now and then.
This is true. Yeah, if Fitzmagic goes down in week 1, then no, I won't know who I'll pick in that game. I don't even know who the Washington backup would be now. You said that the Heineke kid is still
Tyler
around?
Heineke, yeah.
Great. Is it Tyler or Taylor?
Taylor. I'm going to call them both all year. And then his backup is Random Allen. One of the Random Allens is his backup. It's Kyle Allen.
Okay. Oh, God. The Random Allens that floated around everywhere last year. Good to know that they're still around.
Was last year our first year of the Random Allen moniker? I think it was.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was. Yeah, we went down the whole list of every quarterback in the league, and it was like, yeah, that's a random Allen. That's a random Allen. Even if their name's not Allen, like Colt
They're
McCoy
a
is a
Allen.
Random Allen because
so, yeah.
he's just
yeah.
a guy.
So Kyle Allen, the third stringer, is an actual random Allen.
Yes, a legit random Allen by name. Absolutely. That might be the worst quarterback depth chart
in football.
Wait,
that is why I have the Fitzpatrick, Heinicke, and random Allen.
Are you challenging me to get the depth chart out before we leave here and find a worse depth chart of quarterbacks? That's not good, I admit, but the worst in entire league?
I would put that one up against I'm looking at the different teams and
who are the Jets backups?
I don't know who Mike White is. But they got the kid. So they got the hope. They got the number two draft pick.
Okay, they got the hope, but is it going to be better than Fitzmagic this year? Because I don't know if that's guaranteed.
I just think that's an awful depth chart. Just saying, that's an awful depth chart. That's the best
All
thing
right.
to come up with.
So not the starters. I'm just looking at the backup to see who's
Detroit's close.
The worst.
Detroit's close with Jared Goff and David Blau.
That's
close.
Bad.
That's pretty bad, too. I just worry about Fitzmagic, and I say that because we know what he is, right? You know exactly what you're going to get. You're going to get, like, schizophrenic quarterback play.
But I'll take that over, like, look, Andy Dalton is, we know what he is, too, and I don't think you're going to get anything close to what Fitzmagic is going to give you. Fitzmagic actually goes for it. That's why he's turnover Bernie Sanders, because he goes for it too much. But at least he goes for it. Andy Dalton's not going to even go for it. He's going to be bad, and he's not going to be productive. So that's why I guess I have more esteem for Fitzmagic than you do, because yes, we know what he is. We know he can give the ball and the game away to anybody at any time, but he also can things happen. He actually tries to make things happen out there on the football field, and I respect that.
I'll tell you what, though. The Bears have a better quarterback depth chart than the Potato Skins do. Dalton, Fields, and Foles, I would take those three over those three.
I mean, I think Justin Fields has a very high ceiling, obviously. Dalton, I don't think, is very good, and Foles is trash. So, I don't know.
I struck a nerve with you. I denigrated Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, you're making me defend him like I'm his biggest fan or something, which I'm not. But, God, he's better than some of these other losers.
That was my mission. Hot take. I have a new show on ESPN. I'm going to call it Bad Take.
Obviously, Denver with Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Locke are sitting there going, God, I hope we can trade for Aaron Rodgers next year because we can't go very far with these guys. So that's not very, very good either. I don't know if Bridgewater is going to be better than Fitzmagic this year. He probably will, but I don't think it's a guarantee.
Yeah, that's one of those. That's another one of those teams. Denver is a lot like Washington to me. Another one of those defensive-minded head coach teams. This is not a league for defensive-minded head coaches anymore. And that is why I feel so bad for these teams like the Broncos and the Dolphins and the Potato Skins. Did you see where they, speaking of the Dolphins, that Brian Flores had to call a team meeting just to announce to the team that Tua really is their quarterback?
No, I missed that. Really?
Yeah, that happened. Today, I believe, they called a team meeting just to announce that he's really their guy.
I mean, if they were able to trade for Deshaun Watson, they'd call a team meeting and say Deshaun Watson is our guy. So they're only doing that because
our guy.
They're only doing that because they couldn't acquire Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
And speaking of Deshaun Watson, I think the Houston Texans by default has to have the worst quarterback depth chart because they're deactivating Deshaun Watson every week, which means they're going into battle on purpose with Tyrod Taylor and someone named Davis Mills as his backup. So by default, that has to be number one.
That might be. That's a good choice, unless we're playing Madden. Because if you're playing Madden, Madden don't care if you're rapey.
Madden don't give a damn what you do off the field. You got your numbers, you go in there and do whatever you can do.
If you're playing Madden with the Texans, you still got Deshaun Watson.
So if you were the video game developer and you were making Madden 22 with commissioner mode, what kind of features would you be putting into that game?
I believe I wrote a very early in the blog days a post about improving video games and sports by introducing more realism.
Oh, and introducing suspensions.
So yeah, PEDs and DUIs and domestic violence. Oh yeah, why don't they have it like when you do, your play your own career, almost like a Road to the Show type thing. You know, hey, who's to say that you don't have a fake Dominican cousin?
Oh,
and you get offered something by a player, or so. Yeah, you should have more of these real life choices,
Could pull a Nick Aidenhart and get obliterated by a DUI.
That's right. All of a sudden it cuts to like a cutscene, and then it gives you the choice. Like your girlfriend just mouthed off to you. What do you do? A, press X, quietly walk away. Press circle, smack that bitch up. triangle, punch her in the elevator.
Oh. Knock her the fuck out. Oh, my God.
And then you get to play your career, But obviously that would probably lose the rights of the league. That would become a playmakers situation, right? Or any given Sunday situation where it's a little bit too real.
Can't have a Ray Rice mode in Madden because that's you lose the licensing doing that. Yeah, that'd be interesting though.
I think they should introduce more of those elements into the game. Or you could be the guy who you can introduce the cheating element. You could have like the banging on the trash cans thing and.
Deflate
the ball. Like, your quarterback's arm is sore for this next game. What do you do? Press X.
Call the ball boys and have them do a little doctoring.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Spend some of your extra coaching points so that you can get the all-22s or have the hidden camera, in the stands.
Uh-oh, Spygate situation.
Yeah. So I would definitely, if I'm not just making a video game, I'm all in with that stuff.
We could both really get into a lot of trouble doing that. So it's a good thing that we're not developers.
Yeah.
So one last look at some odds since I got the betting app up. So BetMGM, Super Bowl winner, Chiefs plus 450 is the top bet on the board, followed by Bucks plus 700. And your Bills are the third pick at the moment.
Wow.
At plus 1,100.
Yeah. Well, I've got two out of those three in the Super Bowl, so I guess I'm kind of chalky. And you've got the Chiefs winning it all.
I got the other. And the Rams are plus 1,200, so I got 1-4. So there you go.
Wait, so the Rams are the number four team?
That's right.
So they have the... I don't know.
Rams plus 1,200. Ravens, Packers, 49ers all plus 1,400.
49ers?
That's right.
So this is also an indication, too, of where the money is going. But
that's right.
Man, I've got the 49ers winning the division. But I thought I was being a little, shocking with that.
Apparently not.
Wow. So who has the longest, who has the worst Super Bowl odds? Would it be the Jets or the Bengals or?
Rapey McRaperson and the Texans are plus 30,000 to win the Super Bowl.
Wow. So $100 wins you 30 grand.
Yep. If you really want to make that bet, go right ahead. Lions plus 25,000. And then the Bengals and Jets are both plus 15,000, and the Jaguars are plus 12,500, and then the Eagles plus 10,000. Those are your lowest odds for the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So as we say, all these teams, they start the season thinking they have a chance, but they really don't.
So a lot of them really don't. They say they do or they think they do, but they really don't.
And so, all right. So we've got an 8-point spread tomorrow.
That's right. Could have another push.
We could push. We could start the season with a push. But, yeah, we're head-to-head right away. So I got the Cowboys. I'm picking Mike McCarthy and Dan Quinn to keep it close against the defending champs. So
you already said you're picking Dak time.
Yeah, that one could blow up in my face or get me off on the right foot. So we'll see.
We'll see. And we'll have the rest of the schedule, the 15 other games, Saturday night, 9 o'clock Central, first full weekend of football after the Thursday Nighter. I'm ready. I'm ready to get my last sleep in so that I can get up and go to work tomorrow so that
I can
get out and go get some good dinner and make it home in time to watch the first real football game of the season. I'm already ready.
I'll be, like I said, I mean, I'll be up at 6 tomorrow, get off work, work stops 7 o'clock. So kickoff is probably, 7:15? You got to figure. 7:20? Okay, so 7:20.
Well, they're trying to make it real, real special. So there's concerts. There's, I think, Ed Sheeran might be singing a song or two. They're going to have a lot of stuff before the game. They got one of the former Destiny Child girls is doing the anthem. So it might be one of those situations where the kickoff would be a little later than normal for Thursday night. So 7:30-ish, maybe a little later than that.
Yeah, that gets me. Like I said, I'll get home about the end of the first quarter. So I get to see a good solid three quarters of football tomorrow night.
All right, I just got to chuckle. You got Tommy for the Super Bowl to repeat. And I already know why you got him, but I'm just going to be laughing all year because you got Tommy.
I'm doing it to stop it from happening. I'm trying a little bit of counter programming, a little reverse psychology here.
I see that. I might be doing a little reverse psychology myself. I don't know how crazy that would be to have a team hosting the Super Bowl 2 years in a row, but I'm calling for it. It happened last year. It was a shocker, but I'm calling for the L.A. Rams to do it this year and actually lose the Super Bowl to the visiting Chiefs.
So you're all in for the Rams, huh?
Yeah, I love it. I love the possibility. Think of how great the Rams offense had been in the past with Jared Goff, and now you have an actual professional quarterback in Matthew Stafford. So, yeah, I'm very excited for that.
All right. So I'm good. I'm ready to get to bed here and get to watching some football tomorrow night.
Yes, I'm definitely ready. All right, again, join us Saturday night, 9 o'clock Central, 10 o'clock Eastern, of Week 1 picks coming to you. He is Jay. I am Dre. This has been, in much less detail, the podcast, our NFC preview. Hope you enjoyed it, and get ready for real football coming back tomorrow.
Let's do it.
With the Cowboys versus the Buccaneers. And we will talk to you all Saturday night.